You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Ultaholic wow extraordinaire.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 46 of The Training Dummies, recorded on July 3rd, 2013. My name is Daryl, but you can also call me Hend, a resto shaman, who may have wet himself just a little bit after hearing about the newest Healing Tide totem changes. With me, as always, is Rob, also known as Holloway, a Mistweaver monk who enjoys out-DPSing the DPS even when he's queued up his heals. The only way we could have followed up having Jules on the last show was to get another lovely lady of podcasting to chat with us. So we invited Hathor from Low Pop WoW and the My Epic Heals podcast.
Yay!
Oh, goodness. Hello.
I know. We got a room full of people here to welcome you.
Yes, we do.
Hen's got all his kids lined up in the background.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. So we're going to start today. We're going to try and change things up a little bit. So we'll start with just a little mini interview before we roll into everything else. So why or how did you start playing Warcraft?
Well, it was the announcement of the vanilla beta. A friend of mine had gotten an invite and was like, you're going to totally dig this game. It's so incredibly awesome because it's basically a fantasy type story, but you actually get to play as part of the story. And I was a huge, huge fantasy author fan, reading and writing. So I was like, that sounds amazing. I want in on that. So I played a little bit in the beta, messing around on that shared account. And then midnight, the night of launch, I was at a skeezy Walmart in the middle of nowhere, waiting for them to start selling things to us. And that was pretty much it. I mean, I was clueless. I was the warrior in spirit gear because somebody told me that spirit made you regen health faster. And I was like, well, I can't heal, so that sounds like a good idea. So, but, you know, I eventually got through that.
Nice. Well, I guess that tells us how long you've been playing then, since release or even pre-release, I guess, hey?
Yeah. So things have changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I was in the closed beta as well, which was same character, though, Hend, a resto shaman, which is still my main.
Are you sure? I've been hearing rumors.
Shaman. Rumors are lies. Before shaman were cool.
Exactly.
You're a shaman.
So what is your main then?
Well, right now I'm kind of splitting the difference. It's been really tough. So during the week, my main is Hathor, a resto bear, sometimes cat, never boom. And then weekends, my main is Argothia, my discipline holy priest. So I'm actually on two progression raid teams. And yeah, that's kind of a little bit of history. I started on Argo and she was awesome and I loved healing. And then our guild started our eternal struggle for reliable tanks, which is yet to change.
Nice.
So I finally got so frustrated. I was like, screw it. I'm just going to roll a tank. And so I rolled Hath and leveled her up and learned how to bear in Burning Crusade when nobody wanted bears, like at all. And everybody was always shocked when I would like MT somebody really, really big in a 25 man and be like, wow, you didn't suck. I'm like, oh, thanks, I think. But I had such a hard time letting go of Argo because I loved healing. I didn't really want to tank. I mean, it was kind of cool, but it wasn't where my heart was, that every expansion I have activated a second account, transferred one of them over, and then dual boxed them together leveling. And in Wrath, my partner got extremely upset because I made him go into quite a few five-mans with me tanking and healing simultaneously. And he made me promise to never do that to him again.
We're tanking and healing, dual boxing?
Yes. It was so much fun.
I don't even... I guess, like, there's some programs and stuff out there that make dual boxing a lot easier than you realize, but that's still... Those are two very different roles to be
there
simultaneously.
Are programs, but I wasn't using them. I was on two separate computers with two separate keyboards and two separate mice.
Nice.
For some reason, my brain worked better that way. Like, I could heal in my sleep. So, you know, that was kind of the secondary keyboard, and I had her following the tank and then just kind of reach up and hit my keybinds that I just, you know, knew by rote whenever she, the bear needed healing. And I don't know, it was a good time. I remember we did Utgard Pinnacle quite a few times, and that was a blast.
I've done the same thing with my paladin. I leveled up in tanks back, and my wife, her priest, I think it was discipline, but she didn't play as often as I did, and I wanted to level my paladin, but didn't want to leave hers behind, so I did that very often, just even doing quests, putting her on follow, targeting me, and I knew where the heal keys were if I needed to. So I could use my paladin, pull a whole bunch of stuff, and then just tap the heal key every now. I just reach across to her computer, tap the heal key, tap the heal key. So, yeah, I've done that. No dungeons. I didn't do any dungeons, but yeah, I did a lot of questing that way.
And on a priest, it's so easy. Just you just keep bouncing Prayer of Mending off of them and then shielding them. And like maybe a renew. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of situations, that's all you really need, at least like questing and then trash mobs in some of the lower level dungeons. So...
That's all I did for leveling my priest. It wasn't dual box, but it was like level his heals, go in and like shield everyone, and then a random renew here and there, and slash dance over in the corner when you
swing.
Right. I know, but they changed that now. You don't actually get the atonement until much later, right?
Oh really?
Is it like in the 50s now or something? I don't remember. It's been a while, but I don't know if I level another priest over there on Malorna. Maybe I'll find out, huh?
You should totally do that. We always want more priests because they are the best.
I ran a LFR with Vero from the Out of Mana podcast, and she was on her priest, and I was on my monk, and man, she was wrecking shop as a disc priest, was just tearing it up. I was just sitting there doing my little melee DPS heals and just having fun, and I look over and she's like doing like double my heals. I was like, what is going on here?
Well, and that's a thing though to keep in mind, because I get really depressed healing alongside disc priest during the week, so I'm on my little resto druid and I'm hotting everything up and doing all my little cool tricks and popping my mushrooms, and I look at the healing meter on recount and I'm like, I know that my buddy priest was just doing nothing, you know, like he was just like smite, and his numbers are ridiculous. But when you look, if you really want to like feel a little better, look at how many direct heals there are, and then you'll be like, okay, I was doing stuff at least.
I was if you're familiar with Preach from Preach Gaming, I was watching one of his shows from this week, and it was about the kind of the woes of resto shaman as they are right now, and then he actually started talking about disc priests and he said the way, just by design, by the way the game works, it really doesn't matter what you do, how good of a healer you are, how on top of your game you are, you cannot beat a disc priest that knows what they're doing. Basically, it's like, it's just the way it is, the way absorbs are built in and the way the class is designed. It's like you can't out heal an absorb. The absorb is there. The absorb gets priority. They're gonna mm-hmm. kind of take that, you know, and there's no way for you to out heal that or do better than that. You know, you can be awesome and you can be competitive, but if there's a geared disc priest that knows what they're doing, then good luck with that, you know?
Yeah, and I know the resto shaman disc priest thing I've complained about on my epic heals, but you have the absorbs that are, you know, making like all the other healing less necessary. But then poor shaman with their mastery, you want them like they want mm-hmm. people to be at lower health because yeah. then each shield yeah. gets bigger. Well, those shields, and then if you're paired up on my team, it's and my hots are making sure nobody gets that low. So my oh, poor yeah. swing healer, who's a resto, is just like, why do I bother?
Yeah, can you guys just two heal this?
And we do actually in most fights. Yeah. The whole almost the whole first half of Throne of Thunder, we just two heal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Well, next question. Boxers or briefs? Stunned silence.
No. Not such. Boxer briefs are the single best kept secret that men keep from women. Holy crap, they are so comfortable.
Oh, they
are. I want female boxer briefs. They need to be made and marketed immediately.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got a couple pairs that I save for special occasions.
That's all I wear.
And I will leave it at that.
All right. Well, let's get back into the normal then. What have you been up to this past week?
Trying to mitigate the holiday chaos that holidays tend to play on raid teams. So trying to figure out who's going to be around, who isn't, and trying to line up my backup raiders to fill in the appropriate gaps. So a lot of just kind of guild management type stuff, and then more hands-on. I haven't gotten to do a whole lot other than this week. I actually just came from a raid where we were working on Lei Shen. So normal, we're not that fancy. But we actually had a really good run this week. Our first night, we started a little bit late, but we pounded all the way through to, we got Primordius down. So tonight, we knocked out Dark Animus, Ironquan, and Consorts, and actually got to work on Lei Shen. This is only like the second time we've gotten to work on him. Because of course we got to him, and then the next week we were missing a tank again, because that's our story of our lives.
Tanks.
So Polish, we had some different people this time than the first time we'd gotten to work on him, so there's a little bit of a new learning curve, but we really need to clean up our transition phases, but hopefully soon. But that's about it. Yeah, I've been so wrapped up in thinking about long-term guild planning. I don't feel like when I want to sit down and think about the game, I like don't even log in. I go to Facebook and check the guild group, and then I go to the calendar and try to see what's going on with that. And then I do some recruiting. And by the time, I feel like, okay, I've gotten what I need to, I can go in the game, then my time is up and I need to actually do other stuff. So, real life.
Real
How about you, Rob? Have you gotten to do fun things?
Fun things. I got my mage to 90. And
Ooh, yeah.
that's
nice.
Number 12. And I almost within probably 2 minutes of hitting 90, I was at a 461. So I was just jumped right into Mogushan.
Oh, nice.
And went in there, got a couple pieces of gear. I don't even know what she's at now, but... I have the BOA staff from Inscription, and that's got a couple of upgrades on it, so it's like a 484 staff. And then I made a couple of pieces on my tailor to send over, and I kind of just grabbed some PvP gear and just upgraded real quick to get in and did that. The mage is just so different. It's just not my style, really, so it's kind of hard for me to... The leveling was just like breaking my brain, I know, I was talking to Hoof the other day, and he was like, oh my gosh, I leveled in fire, and it was just like the easiest thing ever. And I'm like, man, I'm like running around kiting stuff and CCing things and vanishing and freaking out. I'm like, this is like the worst leveling experience ever. But it's done. I got one more left. I got my rogue to do, and... I'm not even committing to that at this point. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but actually it will happen. I can't say that. It'll happen. It's just a matter of time.
Rogues are so fun too.
They're, you know what? I tore through Jade Forest. I tore through, like, I hit 86 and like no problem at all. And then I was running around over in the valley area, and it's like you pull more than two mobs and you're just like, you're dead. So I don't know. It's I'll have to see. Maybe I'll go back and try it again. Ran some LFRs. I'm on the point of the legendary quest line where you're collecting the Titan Rune Stones. Is that what they're called? And you can only get them from the last half of the Throne of Thunder bosses. And so I ran those two, you know, part three and part four of the LFR. I ran those two sections, and I got one runestone. So that was less than I had hoped for. Ouch. So I'm up to 10. Huh. I need to have 12 in order to progress. And I guess that's not going to happen this week because I've already run those areas. But I'm trying to keep up with that, with the legendary quest line, at least on my main, just so I can, you know, I want to get that cloak when it's available. You know, I'm getting kind of excited for that. I heard him talking about that on CTR this week and you know, did some reading up. And it looks like you're going to need to have that cloak in order to get to one of the world bosses in 5.4. Oh, like, wow. You actually have to have the legendary cloak in order to access the area. Just they're putting some, like, mechanic where you have to float over there or something. But so that'd be kind of cool. You know, I like to stay current with that, so...
Yeah, that should be awesome. There's a lot of talk that, you know, people were really, I don't know, they were put out when they were like, really, the end of the legendary questline, it's just a freaking cloak. So there's some hope that the stuff that's going to look really cool, that people are actually going to be really excited about, kind of to show off that they completed that legendary questline, might actually be the loot that drops off of the legendary only boss. That there might be flashier stuff, because a lot of people don't even display their cloaks. I know it was one complaint. I mean, you know, it's one of the two things that you can just hide on your character. So it does kind of show, like, if they know that people don't even want to necessarily show their cloaks all the time, it's kind of a weird choice.
It was mostly, and sometime in Kata, I pretty much turned it off on everybody except for, like, a couple of casters I left it on. For some reason, with my casters, I'm okay with it. But with most of my melee or up close classes, I don't show it. And I don't care. I know, like, it's a bit of a pain to work into your transmog sometimes, because unless you can find something that has that exact shade of that color that you want, you know.
Oh, but that's what you do. That's what you do. I show all my cloaks, and they all match beautifully.
No way, man. Especially on, like if I'm doing, like, DPS Monk, I don't want a cloak on there, because you're doing these sick moves, man. You're kicking people in the face and spinning around. It's like, you want to be able to see that. It looks awesome. I don't want a cloak on.
I agree. I think the melee, there was some design change where they changed the shape and, like, the way the cloaks hung. I think you're right. I think it was, like, somewhere in either Wrath to Kata.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people started hiding them, especially on melee. Like, I kind of wish that they would revamp the shape. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, next expansion, instead of these narrow, kind of almost fitted, the way they kind of curve the character, that are pretty long, I'd love to go back to some of the short ones that you had in vanilla, but instead of being those short, like, almost handkerchiefs on your shoulder, if they, now that they can do so much more with the models, I'd love to see one where, like, it attached, like, across your shoulder piece, and then it arced up and then down, and, like, I don't know, like, it had some volume to it.
Something that attached to your wrist from, you know, or you could, like, swing it around, and it actually would look cool while you were doing melee.
I could see monks with that, where if they did, like, a spin, it, like, led with their wrist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd love to see kind of the volume, like, the way the shoulders always have that volume. Have a cloak that actually, like, you know, maybe starts at the neck but then arcs up just, like, a tiny bit. So, I don't know. I think back to, like, some of the, like, almost costumes that I've seen in Shakespearean theater.
Yeah.
And that kind of really thick, full, but shorter, like, Tudor-style cloak, that'd be such a change that would be really unique to help make a new expansion stand out visually.
Get you, like, a Dracula cloak, man.
Nice.
I think that's about it for me. I'm not much of a fashionista, so I always turn it off. But and what have you been up to, man?
In game, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You logged in the other day for a minute.
I think in the last 2 weeks, I've played maybe an hour. In the last week, I haven't played at all. the summer lull has hit me hard now, like it normally does. Last year, I was able to stave it off because we had just started the podcast. So that kept my interest in it a lot over the summer as well. We were doing Thursday night clears of Dragon Soul in like an hour and a half or an hour. So between that and the podcast, last summer I was able to fend off the summer lull, not caring about WoW at all. But right now, in the past week, it has just hit like crazy. My interest in WoW right now is about a zero. So I don't know. Well, I do know it happens every year. But I do know that come September, I will be back into the game. My interest will go back up to 100 like it normally is because it happens every year. So this is no surprise. Hoofit and I have even had a long-standing joke where it started where I was taking 2 months off in the summer, then I was taking 1 month, then it was a week, then it was 2 days that 1 week back in July. So when in fact it's been, you know, almost the whole summer. But since I haven't been a game, I've been very busy around the house. We had our long weekend here, and we had Monday was our day off. And I spent the whole weekend working in the yard, and I actually got a lot done. So it felt good to get all that yard work done. I completed our pond / waterfall finally. Because we had a large pond, and it was such a pain to keep clean. We now shrunk the pond by a lot, but kept the waterfall feature that was there, and just filled the pond in basically and made it one giant flower bed, except for a little bit just to house enough water to run the waterfall. So I managed to get that done, plus a few other things around the yard. So it was kind of nice to get that done complete, as well as a lot of the other stuff that needed to be done around here. My weekend WoW has not been very exciting at all because I haven't had a weekend WoW. So
we can expect you back for the Siege of Orgrimmar, is what you're saying?
Probably. I'll try and log in. like even next week. I'll be out of town next week, so there's not even a chance I'll be logging in next week. Because we're going to my parents' cabin. I'm going to help them replace the deck on the cabin. So that's what I'll be doing on my week off next week. But in between working on the deck, we'll be out on the boat fishing, etc. So it won't be all work. It won't be all work.
Fishing? They do that in WoW, right?
Yeah, they do. I haven't maxed.
I don't.
Yeah, right? I haven't maxed. I think that's like one of the only things I don't think I've ever maxed out is fishing.
There's an achievement. Have freaking to do it.
Like, don't I tell me that.
You have to have dual monitors or dual computers because, from what I've heard, the only real way to do it is while watching TV or a movie.
You know what? I never got that turtle mail either. I should just go do that.
Yeah, you should.
The turtle's pretty darn cute.
Yeah, Huff always likes to pull that out. Likes to pull out his turtle.
I wasn't going to go there with it, so.
Leave it to
Rob. All right. We haven't played this bumper in a while, so we'll just carry on and kick it into this.
Deep Run Tram, last call for mail.
We got some mail.
We did.
It's like a turtle head poking out. Oh, Josh emailed us and said you should have a warlock on this show. Josh says, been listening to your podcast since episode one. After listening to the last few shows, I think you should have a warlock on and try to convince Hint to make his warlock his main after all he's playing it a lot. And we did have Ro on from Realm Maintenance on episode 21. I guess that was like over half of our life ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a long time ago. You're right.
No, it was after Mist came out. So we definitely did talk about like destruction and how those chaos bolts were critting pretty good. But maybe we should look at doing another Warlock episode because we like to do what the people want to hear. So, also, if you haven't listened to the Starting Zone podcast, they had Megan O'Neill on. She is WoW Insider's very own Master of the Dark Arts herself. So they had their show this last week was all straight up Warlock goodness. So if you haven't checked that out, go check that out too. But if you want to hear us talk about Warlocks, I think Hand's like 50-50 on that being his main now anyway, so I bet we could do it.
So I'm just going to put this out there. I've already told Hoofit, who is our raid leader, I mentioned this to Rob as well.
Here it comes.
I will officially consider changing my main to my Warlock if, and only if, we can get a reliable, that's the key, reliable. Competent healer to replace me on the raid team. And if we can't do that, then Hand will still be my main because he's needed on the raid team. So there it is. That's the key.
If I have to switch. All right.
And you may want to go ahead and throw out there, when does your raid team normally run, when it kicks back up, and what time frame, in case any of your listeners might be wanting to apply to that position?
Friday? I'll leave it at that.
Friday nights, Mountain Standard, Mountain Time, about 8:30-ish until we finish.
Yep.
We only raid one night a week, Friday nights. So.
Yes.
We're not one of those fancy-dancy 2, 3, 4 nights.
Fancy-dancy.
We got kids and stuff, a lot of us do, so. That kind of cuts things down all a bit, but that's fine.
All that IRL stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you think you guys are going to be moving into flex rating or sticking with normal? I'm just curious. I know I'm derailing a little, but...
I think flex rate is going to be awesome for us.
I think flex rate was... They actually were spying on our raid team for the past couple of years. Like, this is what those guys need.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's totally... Yeah.
That's exactly.
Are you guys rooting for them to lower the minimum, though, from 10 to 8?
Personally, I don't know if that matters to me, really. Like, it would be cool because, you know, for our that was a wall that we always ran into was one person didn't show up or two people didn't show up, and you were like, well, we can't even raid at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know most of us kind of don't prefer to just grab somebody out of trade or general, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've had great luck with it. We've had horrible luck with it. And it's just kind of not worth it. It's, you know, you get somebody in there and they're either really cool or really stupid and it's just awkward and you have to know the content really well anyways. So I don't know. It would be cool, but it doesn't matter at that point if it's flex. You can do cross-realm stuff anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't care if it goes down to an 8. Okay. What I would like to see, though, is if it stays at 10, like it's decreased difficulty, right, for the amount of people you have, and it's lower than normal. So if it's 10 man, but you don't have 10, still allow you to go in there, but not decrease the difficulty below the 10 flex difficulty. Because I think our core 8 could probably handle doing the 10 flex. Whereas, you know,
we were kind of doing that a lot of times anyway. Somebody names would die and then you would 8 or 9 mana boss anyways.
Yeah, man. Exactly. So not necessarily decrease, if they do set it to 8, not decrease the difficulty down to an 8-person difficulty, but leave it at the 10-person difficulty and still allow you to go in there with only 8 or 9 people.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
now, they've said that it's going to be a queue system, so I wonder if that will prevent people from having that option. Because that would be so a huge drawback, but so they've said it's a queue.
Mm, so you grab however many people and then you queue up for flex?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that's fine. They're gonna do whatever they're going to do. I'm really, really, really thankful for the whole flex thing in general. So.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. If nothing else, you know, it's going to allow me to get back into my alts and all that stuff, you know.
All right. Well, we did get another email, and this one is from Elamari, who has... Yes, he has been a fan of ours since the start. He has posted on so many episodes on the website, even. So he's always communicating with us. It's great. I don't know why I didn't sooner, but he's finally on my real ID list or my battle tag.
Man,
oh, yeah.
I need to get him on there.
I know. I'm like, why have I not done this sooner? Hey, dude, you know, what's your battle tag?
I'm a bad person.
So anyway, here's what he sent us. A while ago, I sent you guys a macro that would tell if you had completed the Shaw of Anger world boss. I have found another macro that tells you if you completed all of the four world bosses or not. If you have, it just says name of or and yes or no. I've included a screenshot as an example. Yes, it does show it. I've seen the screenshot. We can't show you on the...
Yeah.
Because this is audio.
Kind of awesome.
It's kind of weird. anyway, we'll post this macro up. Loving the show, guys. Grats on your one-year anniversary, and don't stop the music. I need something to listen to while I'm at work. Cheers from your biggest Aussie fan, Elamari, a 90 feral druid. So, yes, the macro looks awesome, and I'll definitely try and post this one up faster than I post macros of the week so that you can actually use it, because it's that awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little slow with that. All right, I guess it's time for this.
Hey guys, this is Jules from Torrin Think Tank and That TV Show, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Hend and Rob slash Moo.
Slash Moo, everybody.
All right, well, this is where we actually start our discussion on low population servers and or guild leadership, wherever it happens to take us. so
we get these awesome guests that were like, what do you want to talk about? We could talk about this. Wait, I want to talk about this.
Exactly.
Let's talk about everything.
So
all the things.
Exactly. So we've got some questions here, so we'll just start with those and see where it takes us. So Hathor, how have you been able to keep a thriving guild going for 7+ years on a low population server? And I know it's thriving because I made a tune on your server and you invited me to your guild, and I don't think I've ever been in a guild with so many people. Well, no, that's not a lot. I've been in one, but that was many, many, many years ago. But yeah, there was so many
when
people.
When you log in, it does not, when you open the guild roster or when you're just chatting with people, it does not scream low pop server.
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
When I log in over there, because I've got my monk over there right now, and when I log in, it's like, this is a successful server and there are a ton of people on it.
That's wonderful. We actually have grown a ton since January. We're really starting the podcast was just, it was really interesting. Like, I mean, I didn't really think anybody would listen to my podcast, honestly, you know, just like, oh, and then people did. And then I started to get messages from people saying like, hey, I really like the things you say about how you approach your guild. You know, are you looking for anybody? You know, are you taking socials? Or I'd like to just roll an alt there. I don't know if I'd play it much, but I just would like to stay in touch. So that's been really amazing to find people who have already kind of self-selected to have the same perspective as us, which is just very refreshing. I kind of thinking backwards, though, I just was shocked because to me, I still think of us as very small. We have an enormous roster if you look at all the characters, but one of our rules is we never kick people for being inactive. Kind of the thought is if we liked you at one point and you weren't a jerk and you were fun to have around, why in the world would we remove the easiest way for us to get back in touch with you if you decide to play the game again? So we have people who've been inactive for like 5-6 years. And that's fine. And every once in a while when I update the ranks, you know, and I'm looking and I, you know, I always check to see if anybody's hasn't logged on for like more than 2 weeks, I demote them to a special rank that basically can't touch anything just to help prevent against hacks since they tend to happen a lot more to inactive accounts. Mm-hmm. But I'll see people and I'm like, oh, I hope they come back someday. Like, that would be awesome. So I think that attitude has helped us to keep going. Like, even just tonight, we had someone come back who'd been inactive for, I want to say, close to a year. And, like, as soon as he logged, people were just like, oh, my gosh, it's Rurant. That's so awesome. And, like, he joined our guild when he was, I think, like, 14 or 15.
Oh, man.
You know? So, like, it's just really cool to be able to keep in touch with people. And I think it helps that people know that we're that committed to them, that, like, we aren't just like your only value to the guild is you being on and active and contributing in some way. You know, that's definitely not our top priority. Our top priority is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that attitude informs like all of our policies, all of our approaches. And I think that really, really helps. Obviously, we aren't appealing to people who are just in it for like really intensive competitive play. People who are in it for like super duper loot stuff. Like we run our raids on Loot Council, where people talk through who a piece is going to be the best benefit for.
Mm-hmm.
And that works out really, really well as long as everyone on that particular raid team is putting in roughly the same amount of effort towards maintaining their characters. The only time we've had mm-hmm. issues is if like one person never had tokens, you know? Well, that's not really fair then for other people who've done their token grinds, who then have gotten more gear because they've been staying on top of things to then have to pass because you have a lower level item because you weren't bothering to try to gear up your
right,
character.
Yeah.
But we really haven't. We had one like little hint of that, but that's the worst it's been because people tend to be really respectful of each other and really, you know, kind of on the same page, which has been very, very cool. Another major thing is, again, kind of that people approach is, while we are pretty progression focused, very, very high performance requirements in many ways, we have a really, really awesome range of social members who some of them want to be raiders, are aspiring raiders, some of them aren't interested at all. And we've tried really, really hard to make sure that what the guild does and how it treats players and everything in no way looks down on or implies that a certain kind of player is less valued than any other. I think that has been really excellent to make sure our socials and our more casual people don't feel like they're second-class citizens. Because I've been in guilds where that was definitely the case and people were definitely ranked according to like which team they were on or what activity they did. And that just makes, that's not fun. That's not nice.
Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of insight behind the scenes because I do have a tune over there and I am, you know, on part of your Facebook group and everything. Mm-hmm. One thing that you guys are doing that I absolutely just fell in love with the idea and everything was like the mentoring system where you had people that you knew were successful with certain classes or specs and you're building that roster of saying, okay, you know, this person can do this really well and this really well and this really well and throwing it out there and saying, hey, if anybody wants to learn or step up their game or, you know, if you want some one-on-one attention to learn how to be a Beastmaster Hunter, this person right here is super cool, and they will totally hook you up. I think that like that type of attitude towards your guild and towards your community is like it kind of builds – it gives you that foundation to work off of.
Yeah, and that's also, like I said, you know, just because someone maybe isn't a strong enough player to be a progression raider right now, we refuse to give up on them. You know, like, we try to help them, we post resources for them. I know I actually got re-inspired to rely and do much more with log reading and World of Logs because of one of your guys' earlier shows, and started to try to teach myself a little bit better how to interpret logs and then try to get newer players to run raids with us, even if it's just an LFR, but telling them, you know, do everything you can to play as if this was like a mm-hmm. hardcore progression raid. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of take a look at their performance and what they do on certain fights compared to one of our progression raiders on the same class and role. And then say, okay, so these were your top three abilities. These were their top three abilities. Obviously, you're not using the same abilities. So right. let's kind of show, okay, this is the ratio you should be doing. It really helps to pinpoint that kind of specific feedback that helps people improve. And it's, of course, optional. Like, if people are perfectly happy just questing or doing whatever they're doing, doing LFR, we don't in any way require them to have to do this sort of thing. But a lot of people are really excited about us because there aren't a lot of guilds, or at least I've been told this, that really are open to people who don't already have whatever required skill level it is for that guild. You know, they want people to come in who already have X number of heroic kills under their belt, ready to just jump right in and go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we try really hard to offer opportunities for people to come in and learn in a low stress environment where they're not in any way going to be made to feel like, you know, you don't play 50 hours a week and research every single thing. Right. You're a terrible person. So we were doing cross-realm raids for a while to give people training opportunities. We actually had some scheduling difficulties. I had wonderful turnout from people across the internet, not so much good turnout from my own guild. So we kind of put that on hold, but we're actually going to have a dedicated flex night at the end of the week. So all two, and we're actually building a third progression team now, so that all three of our progression teams will have the option to join if they want to after their regular runs, but that all of our social and aspiring raiders can be guaranteed to be able to go on the flex team if they so choose that week. So I'm hoping we'll have a nice balance of more experienced and more geared players to use that as a really great opportunity to help people learn a little bit more as well.
That's just a great approach to facilitating raid groups and development and everything. Like, I really, 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 really like that. What would you say are some of the, I'll just pop these both into the same question. What are some of the pros and cons then of playing on a low pop server?
I feel like it is a bit more work on both the personal level of like running the guild, but then also on like the individual player level too. Players, you know, have to do more work because there aren't as many resources available to you on the auction house. So you're farming a lot of your own mats, things like that, that you may not have on other servers, because there just isn't anything on the auction house, or if there is, it's so overpriced that unless you're rolling in gold or don't really care, like I have the money a lot of the time, I just on principle will be like, I will not pay that much for a class.
Well, yeah,
absolutely not. But so there's a bit more work on the guild side. I feel like we have to do a lot more to make sure that we stay active and keep bringing people in, because the normal attrition that happens, just especially as expansions age, there's just not really a pool of people to replace people who fade away or take breaks with as easily, especially because we do try to be pretty darn selective about who we let in, because we have to be careful to maintain that kind of really positive and nurturing environment. And there's a lot of people in the game. I mean, just look at LFR that are kind of the anti-Wicked persona.
I don't want a Wicked LFR.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody does. Nobody does. But, you know, the thing where if somebody messes up, then you yell at them and you say bad things about them and you get very angry at them. And that's like the just polar opposite of what we really want to go for. So you have to go outside of the server to bring in people, and then you have to do a lot of screening to make sure that they really are a good fit. Recruiting is a royal pain in the buttsky. Like, really time-consuming.
Yeah. Oh, we know all about that.
Yeah, that's actually one of the... something we'll be talking about here in a sec.
Yeah, and if you want to recruit someone from a different server, up until just very recently with some of these announcements of the new 5.4 features, people would be like, oh yeah, this sounds great, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, wait, low pop server? Nope, not going to transfer there.
Right, yeah.
So the stigma definitely made it harder to just kind of help us get the people to even maintain our population, much less really grow it. So there's definitely some tough parts. I think the benefits are, I'm really thrilled that you guys both had really great impressions, but I think the environment that we've been able to create, has been really great because of the lack of the really high population. There aren't nearly so many transient guild members. And a lot of these pros I'm going to talk about.
That's a funny way of saying it.
Well, but, you know, people come and people go pretty easily when there's a million other options.
Yeah.
When there are very few options, I feel like people are more willing to, like, work through problems and resolve them like adults, because it's not just an easy, like, whatever, I'll just G-quit and go somewhere else. So, like, we have people who actually, like, if they have an issue, they actually do bring it up, and we do talk through about how we can fix it, and kind of have just, again, more of a real-world approach than that lack of accountability and commitment that you often get in online communities.
I'm not going to name any names, but not too long ago, there was a guild app that came in, and I spent, I don't know, a good 30, 40 minutes, kind of interviewing this guy, and he wanted his girlfriend to come over, and, you know, we were talking back and forth and back and forth and brought him in. I finally said, all right, you know, make sure you fill out the form application. We'll get you in here, you know, and make sure everybody understands everyone's intentions and we're all good. And you know, go. And I put a lot of effort in over the next couple of days, you know, how's it going? What's going on? Let's, you know, you want to do a run. And then all of a sudden one day I log in and see that he's left the guild. No word, no nothing, no, you know. I'm like, man, I just spent a few hours on trying to see if this was even going to work or not. And then I turn around, the guy's gone. I'm like, All right, cool. Thanks. You know? And yeah, you know, we're only on a kind of a medium ish. I'd say maybe medium to low on Deathwing. And it's you're saying, people have options, then they'll go. They don't care. You know, they just want an immediate spot on a raid team. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's tough because some people really, really value a culture that's different than that, but a lot of people don't really want to have to make that kind of commitment to just a community and a game they're going to play, you know? And I totally respect that, but it is tough, you know, when you put that much of yourself in to try to be like, oh, I really want to make sure this works and that you're happy and we're happy and then it's going to be wonderful. And then they go poof and you're like, wait, what? We had a couple of people where that happened recently, the tanks, always tanks. But it was interesting because it wasn't that tanks. They left the guild. They just stopped logging in. So we'd have someone who was really excited to join us and they joined us and they'd run with us for events with 1 to 2 weeks and they seemed really, really happy. And they just haven't logged in 2 months since then, you know? So, yeah, I mean, of course, outside world can happen, but it still was always so surprising.
We had that two people that happened to, and they were both Twitter invites. And, you know, the first one was back in January, and he was on the raid team. He was showing up every Friday, and then he mentioned he couldn't come the next Friday because he was out of town, and then, boom, he's just gone. Just gone, never logged back in again.
Man.
His Twitter handle is gone.
His Twitter account is gone, yeah.
And then it happened again at Easter. When our raid team finally died at Easter, we had someone else, the same situation. Recruited him. He was from Twitter and from listening to the show or whatever and got talking to us through Twitter and everything. And then all of a sudden, he was on the raid team and he just stopped logging in after Easter. And now his Twitter handle's gone too, and it's just disappeared, and it's what happened, you know? It's like, is it us? I don't know.
I'm always torn. At first, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope nothing bad happened to them. I hope they're okay. Yeah, and then I'm like, they better not be okay if they just totally blew us off. Then I'm like, no. I really want them to be okay. And so, the raid always jokes that, okay, so now we're all officially supposed to hope that this person is just a total jerk and not that something is horrible has happened to their lives.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But, exactly. Well, I think that in management, I had a girl when I was running a shop who was chronically late. So, I would keep getting called by the mall saying you're in violation of your contract. If your store is not open in 5 minutes, we're fining you. So, I'd race in to open. Jeez. And for, the fourth time in a month, I got the call, and I was, swearing and so angry. I'm like, that's it. I'm firing her. The second I hear or see from her, that's it. Fired. Done. I'm over it. And then, of course, she comes running up, and, her face is bruised. She's like, car accident. And I'm like, oh, I'm the worst person in the world. So now if somebody's just gone or whatever, I'm always like, oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. What if
somebody... I don't see any stitches.
I just want to throw this question in there. Is Malorn your original server?
It is not. Let's see. First server was Illyria as Alliance, little spirit-wearing warrior. Second server actually was Deathwing. It's funny you mentioned that.
Do you have any tunes over on Deathwing still?
I think I have a rogue, a level 6 rogue named Yes, because I was really into Farscape, and so I made this undead rogue that had the white face with the black crisscross and named him Scorpion after the villain. But I think we actually transferred tunes over. We had some friends who were playing on Malorn who were like, come, you guys can finish leveling and you can join our guild and we're going to start raiding and it's going to be great. So we did, my significant other and I, and we finished our leveling and they brought us to one attempted Karazhan that I think was their first raid ever as well. And I know we didn't even get Huntsman down. We had no idea what we were doing and they didn't know what they were doing and nobody had bent. It was very confusing. And then I got snatched up by another guild. I just figured I was killing time and that's when they actually, we started raiding. I got the bug. And then we were just on Malorn and that's what happened. Never left. I was just thinking you did say pros and cons. Another thing that I thought was very unique to Lopop servers that I'm worried is going to disappear with virtual realms evening out populations is reputation. You know, like people know who you are on a Lopop realm. And if you're a jerk, everybody knows you're a jerk and you're screwed, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're really, really respectful and nice, people know that too.
Well, that kind of went away with LFR and LFD. Yeah, and
it used to matter.
It doesn't matter if you're a jerk, because you can still go queue up and doesn't, you know.
Yeah, but with LFR not being the same item level reward, like, if you want to pug on a Lopop realm into a regular raid, like, people know you, or people know your alts, or people know your guildmaster. They're going to check and see, are you worth them bringing in? There's a lot of networking too amongst a lot of the guild leaders in the top remaining raiding guilds. So, like, I'll get whispers frequently saying, hey, our team is short one. Do you have any people who can raid late night that you're not using this week who could help us fill in? So that is kind of a positive on the guild running angle. But I just liked it because, like, people know my guild. They know how we are. So if I get a new player who doesn't represent us well and exhibits behavior that is not cool, I'll hear about it if they're doing stuff with people on our server. They'll be like, hey, I know that your guild isn't cool with this. You need to know that this guy was doing this. And then we'll take care of the issue. And that's something that we rarely had happen when we were still a high medium. I mean, it did happen, but within a much smaller circle. Like, the raid guilds knew us and knew how I led things and knew how I expected my members to conduct themselves and behave to others. But in general, like, if I had casuals who were just running five mans on the server, I would never get that kind of feedback.
I'm gonna jump down to this other question, because since you kind of brought it up, then how do you handle the hard decisions like that? People who are being disruptive or personality clashes or just, you know, not a good fit for your guild. How do you go about handling that?
Being really careful about who we bring in helps to minimize how often we need to get into that situation. We don't ever, like, refuse people just because nobody knows them who's already in the guild, but we tend to be much, much more thorough with those people. You know, we make them do an online application. We, if they want a raid, they do have to submit either logs or do trial raid runs with us prior to being accepted. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, well, can't you just give me an invite and then you can decide if I'm good enough for the team? And we're just, no. No, we want to make sure that if we bring you in, you know exactly where you stand beforehand, because this is a really big commitment for us. And I think that helps to emphasize that we expect kind of a similar level of commitment from them. We'll do vent interviews. But if people have references, usually it's from people who've been in the guild a reasonable amount of time, and they're like, this person would really like this. So that helps a ton, just that screening. But generally, I mean, I have a council of officers. They have independent authority in a lot of areas, but ultimately it comes down to me making the final call. My official guild title is, in fact, Dictator. I don't know if you guys looked at the
I saw that on last week or something. I did notice that.
But I try to make sure my officers, they're a blend of elected officers and appointed officers. And I really think it's important to have the elected officers so that people from every play style are represented. Because obviously I have a personal preference towards progression rate kind of focus. So I want to make sure that I have people who can kind of give me other perspectives. So when there is a situation, I make sure I get input from all my different officers. Especially if somebody says something that's just completely out of place or inappropriate, I always want to make sure it's not just me misinterpreting something, because that happens all the time with text communication on the internet. There's no special font for sarcasm, you know, things like that. We actually had a really bizarre situation somewhat recently that is probably the most extreme situation we've had in a while, where we had someone make a highly inappropriately sexually suggestive comment at me in guild chat.
Oh, wow.
And we were all, like, the raid team was in vent, so, like, we, of course, were talking about it when it happened, and I was just dumbfounded because this person in whispers to me was overly formal and overly polite. So I and had been consistently for a couple weeks, and very helpful and pleasant, and, like, it just didn't make sense. So I was like, I kind of get the feeling that this person may just maybe be a little socially inept. And, like, because the guys were making jokes, references to the Sean Connery character from SNL, the Jeopardy. Yeah. So there were sexual innuendo jokes going on, but they were very specific to that Jeopardy SNL skit.
Yeah.
So if this person didn't recognize the reference and thought people were just getting raunchy, like, I thought maybe – so I whispered him, and I was just kind of like, hey – I just wanted to let you know that I was a little surprised by that comment that was – probably crossing a couple different lines. We don't usually get that graphic or suggestive. There was, you know, the jokes before that were actually about a very specific SNL skit they were referencing. And then he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, I just try to fit in. And I was like, you know what? That's part of internet culture, you know, in a lot of places, especially for younger people or people who are less experienced with internet culture. They just kind of say what other people are saying because they want to be accepted. And I mean, honestly, kind of misogynistic female stuff is kind of the norm in some circles on the internet. So I was like, okay, well, just so you know, please don't do anything like that again.
Yikes. Yeah.
You know, and then my guys in Vent were like, oh, he's probably like 14 and has never talked to girls in real life. And oh, and then they were like, oh, it's so cute. Well, then we found out later that it was actually an adult husband with several children. And then we kind of called that into question again. Like maybe he played it off to try to not have us be too upset with him, because he was old enough that he probably should have known better. So that was a little strange, but he actually, this, you know, it was like, okay, whatever, people, we try to give people benefit of the doubt and work through things rather than just jumping the gun. But it ended up, he actually was someone who I had people come up to me and say, hey, we're in this pug, this person used anti-gay derogatory comments to insult people. He kneaded on items that weren't even his usable by his class. Yeah. He did these things, and then he claimed that it was to pay for his repairs from the wipes. Like just stuff that's just not cool, you know? Yeah. So, and they were like, and we know you and your guild would not approve of this at all. So we wanted to make sure. They're like, we remember you from back in Wrath. You used to host pugs, and you were always very adamant that everyone was very respectful. So we wanted to make sure you knew. And so that was pretty much the final straw. Like, okay, we had some weirdness before. We gave you the benefit of the doubt, but this is you representing our guild in a way that is clearly unacceptable and not respectful. So I just, you know, was very blunt with him and said, this is what happened. I had it validated by two people who I've known for years who, you know, I've interacted with in reliable ways. So I apologize. We're probably not the guild for you if that's the way you like to play the game. Not making any judgment calls, but we don't condone that. So good luck finding a new guild, you know, best of luck to you. Tried to just be as professional as possible, not get personal. And that's one of the things, if you can not let it affect you personally, it's a lot easier to handle those kind of things. You know, we try to question, because sometimes there's just miscommunication, sometimes there's conflicting reports, but if it comes down to like, you know, benefit of the doubt, or it seems like someone clearly is trying to get out of owning up to something, we'll just, you know, unfortunately cut them loose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen often. I can count the number of people I've G-kicked, under 15 in all these years, probably.
That's a pretty good track record for, I would say, you know, like we were talking about the size of your guild, you know, it's pretty amazing that you're able to have that kind of, like, I guess your attrition is either that low or, you know, you're just able to attract that quality of people.
Well, a lot of time we'll talk to people and kind of explain why their behavior or their attitude doesn't quite mesh with the guild. And a lot of times we can kind of say, you know what, this probably isn't a good fit. Best of luck. You know, if you need any references, no problem. And like, again, not letting it be personal, but realizing that, you know, our guild won't be for everybody. And if they have a clash, usually they're aware that there's something that's not quite mm-hmm. clicking. So again, treating things like adults, you know, confronting them directly, being open and honest with people. I think that all just kind of comes together. And I have to admit, I have a management background in business. You know, I spent 18 years in upper management. So conflict.
You're not even old enough. I don't even want to hear that.
I am thrilled that you think I'm not old enough.
I get that at work and stuff a lot too. I actually get carded pretty much every time I go out. So I get it.
That's funny. But yeah, so like treating things kind of, I hate to say it, but I do kind of try to run it the way I used to run some of the businesses is like, you know, get all the facts, give people the benefit of the doubt, be upfront. And then if you know that the right thing to do is to kill the relationship, just do it. Don't wait. Don't let them hang around. Things will get crazy. Don't tolerate drama.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how do you handle guild communication then? What's the best ways you found to update your guild on everything to keep everyone updated?
Well, there's some challenges getting everyone on the same page. We had a guild website with forums and it was fantastic, and only about 6 people ever regularly checked in on them. So,
which is about 5 people more than check our guild forums.
Four. There's me and Taylor check it daily. I know we do.
Do you check it daily?
Well, it's when I log into the chat, I go through the website, so the forums.
Oh, do you? Yeah. I have the link straight to the chat site.
Oh, so I have the forums bookmark, so I go to the forums, and then from there I get into the chat.
That's awesome.
So I see if there's any new messages.
Nice. Yes. Nice. Yeah, I was a little heartbroken because, like, I built this website, you know, it was, like, I think the first website I ever built, and I was, like, got all these great pictures and designed the graphics and we had someone make a logo for us and then like nobody ever goes there. And I was like, oh. But so I actually wasn't a Facebook user until a couple of my guild members were like, we're making a Facebook group. And I'm like, oh, Facebook, that's like so lame. But they got me to do it just, you know, just in case. And then we discovered like more and more people were like, oh, there's a Facebook group. Totally will join. So like it just kind of evolved and it wasn't really at my instigation, but it ended up being fantastic. We have people who are still in the group who haven't played in a year, but who are really active chit-chatting with people. We have some people who want to keep their personal and their game stuff very separate. Sometimes they're concerned about like high profile jobs, you know, don't want people to know they play WoW. So the group it's not private. So like you can tell that there is a group, but nobody can see what's posted unless you're actually a member of the group. So that kind of helps with some privacy issues. Mm-hmm. And then other people actually created separate profiles that's like the name of their character so that they could have it completely separate from their personal life to, again, if they want to keep certain things private. So there's been a couple ways people have adapted to make it more useful than I think some people might initially think of when they think of like a guild using Facebook. Mm-hmm. I know initially I was like, well, I don't necessarily want everyone in my guild to know like my full real name, my town that I live in, you know, like all the details that you get a little nervous with random strangers on the internet. But there's some things that you can do, you know, but I have people who just, like I said, use their toon name. So it kind of resolves that issue. And then other people who don't use Facebook, I've been able to kind of wheel and deal to get them to just make an account and then just set the notifications so that posts in the group just go to their email. So they never really have to log in again. They'll just at least see the updates though. Mm-hmm. But that's been really, really good for us. Other things that we've done are, we kind of went back and forth from using the website calendar. And then when nobody used the website, I was like, well, it's dumb to use the calendar. And we only have one raid team right now, so why bother? But now that we're bigger and we're doing many social and casual oriented events, you know, those people don't just know a steady schedule. So we started to use the in-game calendar way more recently. Mm-hmm. And then I started to build surveys and actually make my guild members take surveys.
Yes, you are.
I am. I'm trying to keep it minimal. We've only
Calling people out, too.
I am. We've only done two, but because we've grown so much, I wanted to make sure I knew what did people really want to see the guild provide for them. You know, a lot of people would say, I really want challenge modes. I really want challenge modes. I really want challenge modes. But, like, that's two people. Does that mean that only two people are telling me? Mm-hmm. And there's really 10 people who want challenge mode groups? Or are there really only two people? So we did an initial survey to just gain interest, like, what do you guys want to do? What are the things you'd really like? And then I realized that I wasn't specific enough. So I got some general interest information. And so I posted on Facebook some of the summaries of the results of that first survey. We actually had 36 people respond, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Considering it's a Facebook group, that's pretty awesome.
And our average night, like on our biggest nights in prime time, we only usually have between 20 and 24 people on. So that I was really impressed with. The second one, I actually picked the activities people had the most interest in based on the first one, and actually had people like rate how much you would be willing to commit to this activity. You know, do a 4 or 5 if you like would actually like try to commit on a weekly basis to do this, rate it lower if you're less interested. And then I had the people who rated certain activities a 4 or 5, tell me very specifically when they'd be available to do that. So as soon as we get a few more results in, we're going to parse out the data to our officers. So the officer in charge of PvP events will see the list of names of all the people who rated a PvP type activities a 4 or 5. He can look at their availabilities and then schedule events within those windows. Same thing for our social, you know, officer. She can look at all the people who said they want to do transmog runs and like old raid runs, and she can see who it is to make sure she invites them on the calendar and then schedule at times that fit as many of them as possible. So that that second survey, I mean, even though right now I only have about 15 responses, if I can get the remaining people who answered the first one to do this one too, all of a sudden we're going to be able to schedule based upon when people are really available and just the people who are interested in those specific things. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm really, really excited to be able to cater to what people want and when they want it much better.
It's awesome.
You mentioned earlier talking about how podcasting had kind of helped and changed things for you. I was actually going to ask you about that, but in terms of recruiting, has there been a boom for you? What are your recruiting tactics?
I think I suck at recruiting, actually.
You don't spam. Dude, there's this guy or gal, whatever, who I see, because I tend to play a little bit more late night, I see every single time. It's like, industry standards is recruiting for raiders and casual and PvP. And it's this macro that I see every night around the same time. And you can go and you see the same dude just going around all the different zones, spamming his little macro. And I'm like, I don't even think twice, like, would I want to be in that guild or anything. You know, I'm like, oh, poor guy.
Well, I think the last time I spammed in trade chat, I think I typed out my little, like, hey, Wicked's interested in all types of players from casual to hardcore. Check out our website and apply there if you're interested. I think I last did that, like, maybe 4 weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure it was out of frustration because it was like 7:45 and another tank hadn't showed up for the raid that was supposed to start at 7:30. And that's usually when I spam, is only when I'm like at that second raging because somebody's gone on no notice. But we never really got people who had that kind of long-term commitment level from the trade spam, typically.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And occasionally we would, but usually it was only because they were like, oh yeah, I've heard of that guild, Wicked. I had a good experience with somebody from that guild. It's like a reminder for people who already kind of have us in their sights. Mm-hmm. But Kernmo actually has been blogging and writing like a guild leadership guide, and also doing a blip featuring various guilds, trying to help people with recruiting. And I actually looked at her guideline on her chapter on recruiting, and I was kind of relieved that I don't think I was doing any, was missing anything major, but she had some really excellent points about make sure that you're reliable and consistent when you post so that people get used to seeing your name and know you're not just like a fly-by-night guild, like just that repetition. She draws on a lot of advertising techniques. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to inundate people so that they stop listening because they're so used to it that it's no longer interesting or valuable or noteworthy. But you want to be frequent enough that it helps to build kind of the reputation and the authority in their mind as like, oh, I've seen them on MMO Champions recruiting forums. I've seen them on my guild or my server's recruiting forums, and I've seen them on this other recruitment forum. So like some consistency helps being really, really blunt and direct in those types of posts about what you're all about. And detailed, I think, really helps. I actually have gotten, I think, 3 recruits specifically due to my recruiting forum posts in the past couple months, which honestly is 3 more than I think we've ever gotten before. but just being really, really blunt, like if you are a loot whore, you don't belong in this guild, so we're not the right fit for you. If you, you know, are elitist and like to talk down to people, we are not a good fit for you. I usually don't phrase it in that kind of negative way, but I try to emphasize the positive and say, we are, you know, a community that encourages, you know, gameplay of all types and respects gameplay of all types and are dedicated to helping players become better players if they're seeking input and help. And just being really, really explicit to make sure that people who are more into, again, like competition and EPing just aren't even going to be interested in us because of the way we describe ourselves.
Totally.
And then I try to be consistently updated where I'll try to post. If I was good, I'd do it every week, but I'm not good. So it's like every 3 weeks. So I'll make sure I double back. I'll update original posts or I will bump them by updating the content. Say, hey, so the original post is still accurate with the exception of now we're looking for a DK tank instead of a pally tank. You know, so they're getting bumped, but not with just useless bump. So that right. A lot of times I know when I see guilds that do that, I'm like, what jerks? You know, you can't be bothered to at least make an effort when you're obviously bumping. I respond to a lot of individuals looking for guild on the WoW general recruiting forums. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever gotten any responses really from that. I had one person who thanked me for my response to them, but they were going with another guild, which was incredibly awesome. But usually you just never hear anything again. So, I don't know, it's a very thankless task, but it really does help the more you work at it. You will see increased benefit, but it's like exponential. Like, you have to put in so many hours of effort and maintenance to get even like one person, it feels like. It's a little depressing. But that could change, right? Because right now I'm a low pop server, so everybody sees that and they're like, we're not going to transfer there. So it'll be interesting to see if that really helps because people won't be thinking of all those negatives.
Right. I know you touched on some of this already with your survey and your events, but what other things do you do to keep your guild healthy?
I think having officers that represent all the different interests really helps because like I'm too busy to do half the things I even want to in the game, much less try to pay attention to things I'm not interested in just for the sake of the guild. So having officers that represent each of those different interests who can be doing and helping to encourage people to do things together has been really good. We try to make sure that there's a lot of things that people can get behind, like we provide flasks and feasts and potions, as well as like some key items like belt buckles and some enchants to progression raiders. So the entire guild has the option to donate on a weekly basis, max level crafting mats, things that can help us provide that. But as we had expanded past just raiders, we had to figure out, so what can we give back? So we've started doing a monthly drawing. So every time somebody donates appropriate items, they get an entry into a raffle. And then at the end of each month, we go ahead and pull a couple names and give away. Lately, we've been doing mostly pets because most people have been donating pets as potential prizes. But we actually had a guild member and actually a guild member and his mom kind of both helped each other out. Just, they donated a Meccano hog.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
so I think what we're going to do is like maybe every 3 months we get a really big ticket prize. And then everybody who contributed for the previous 3 months gets in on that one too.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's been really cool. And so like I have an officer she's mistress of the bank. So she keeps updates on the Facebook page, letting people know like, hey, we really need, you know, green tea leaf this week and we could really use some ghost iron ore. So whatever you guys can do. And like whenever she puts a call out, instantly the bank is just flooded with whatever she's requested. Like people are really, our culture, people are really independent. They don't necessarily like to ask for a lot of help, but when somebody else asks for help, they're very, very giving.
Yeah.
So kind of developing this structure has helped everybody feels like they're contributing, even if, you know, they aren't a raider, they're helping that raid team succeed so they can take pride in when we kill things. It's not just that raid team, it's the guild's progress. So we try to really make sure it's everybody, you know, gets to take pride in all the different things that we do. We also, I kind of did it as a combined guild and podcast event. I did, I called it Low Pop Wow Listener Event, but we really heavily promoted it in the guild. So one weekend, instead of airing the podcast, due to some scheduling issues with guests, we did a Karazhan race. So we had people sign up in teams of two, and there were actually a couple different ways to win, because we didn't want to just privilege people who are really familiar with Karazhan and who had really good gear.
Oh, yeah.
So we gave prizes to the team that did clear all the required bosses on our list in the shortest amount of time. But then we also gave prizes to whichever team, just random chance, happened to get the most of the newest pet drops that had been added. And then we also gave prizes. Nice. Each team collected potential transmog pieces that dropped on their run, and at the end they got to submit one piece for like the best, most awesome looking transmog and one piece for the worst, ugliest transmog.
Nice.
And we were streaming it live, so we had the chat room vote to say which team's ugly transmog or pretty transmog won. So that way we were able to appeal to a wider range of people. And it was cool. We had a lot of guildies who were participating. We had a lot of guildies who were just in the chat room watching the stream. We had some people from the podcast community who were participating or observing. And then we had people from Low Pop Wow. So it was pretty cool. And I really like kind of using the guild as a platform to kind of cross over with the podcast project, because my guild's been incredibly supportive. That's another thing people have really kind of gotten behind and like take pride in, even though I'm doing the show. Like I have some people, you know, I have one of my guild members is the one who does all my music. He does the Trey Hates Everything segment. I have other guild members who just do research for me and like let me know about any new updates, developments, tweets, things like that that they feel like
nice.
I should know about.
Cool. Yeah.
So that's been really, really awesome. Just, again, things that people can be proud of really, really help so that everyone feels like they're contributing in their own way, even if they're just leveling a baby tune, you know?
That's super cool. I know I've kind of, our guild is extremely helpful, and like, you know, if I need an enchant or I need whatever, I can go to any of them. But I've kind of, over the past few years, really built my own ecosystem within my alts, you know? I have every profession, you know, except for fishing and except for engineering. I've got everything maxed, you know, I can do all my own stuff, and I've got a truckload of herbs, you know, I farm all my herbs. I do all my own stuff, and, you know, I think this expansion has been really nice because you can get a lot of mats from the farm over there at Half Hill.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It's a really easy way to do it. But I think, you know, if you have a larger guild and you're looking to create that team environment and, you know, we need flasks for raiding, you know, like everyone's not relying on one of their alts to feed themselves. You know, it's a lot more of a community environment. I think that's a really good way to keep people involved and invested.
Yeah, and it was hard for us too because we actually, when we first started, we split off from a previous guild at the beginning of BC, and that guild kind of was my model of what I didn't want to do. Like, they had two raid teams, and they called them Team Number One and Team Number Two, and nice. I was on Team Number Two, and we were Number Two. We were the poop team because we weren't the hardcore progression people.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it made a really bad environment. Like, we just felt kind of crappy about the way people treated us. And by the end of our stint, like, we were the team that was more progressed. You know, we were the team that was doing harder stuff. Sweet. And that was hosting the pugs. And then the number one team had to kind of like be like, well, we're coming too. And it's like, well, are you? Because you guys are kind of jerks. So, like, I really wanted to make sure that when we expanded beyond just a 10-man raid guild team, like, we literally were just our 10-man team when we split off. And so then slowly a couple more people and a couple more people were like, hey, we weren't on your raid team, but we really, you know, liked you guys. Do you mind if we join you? And we kind of were like, well, for a while we actually said, like, unless you're on the raid team, you can't be in the guild. And I think that's a product of back in that era. That was much more common because there weren't guild perks. You know, why else would you be in a guild except to have a raid team or, you know, a group of people to do five mans with? There weren't any other real motivations. But as we grew, like, we really struggled with how do we feel like a unified whole and not the raiders and the non-raiders? Because that's kind of how we were initially when we started bringing in friends and family. And it became pretty clear that that still wasn't a good environment for them. So now that we've really started to beef up and kind of aggressively add to our identity, that, like, that's part of who we are, is that we don't want to ever make someone feel like they're lesser because of they play the game and enjoy it in a different way. We had to really, really try to brainstorm and figure out how are we going to make sure, like, I mean, why should a casual leveler have to help a progression team get their flasks? You know, that was kind of like, how can we make it so that they want to and they're happy with it and they don't feel like they have to? Because we don't require donations. And we had to, at first, you know, our ranks were kind of, I don't know, kind of negative for the people who didn't contribute. So then we revised the ranks, try to make them more neutral. So if people don't want to, that's fine. But we wanted to make it such a fun thing that they wanted to. And I think that that's starting to work out really well for us. There's been a lot of changes in just the last, like, 3 to 4 months that seem to be panning out pretty well.
Very cool.
Yeah, I guess if you require it, it's not really a donation, huh?
Exactly. Well, in some guilds, back in the day, they did. Like, you had to donate back in the day in a lot of guilds. That was a requirement, you know. So I think the new guilds of the past, like, two expansions with the guild perks and stuff, are a really different environment. And that's one thing I struggle with, is I tend to kind of stick in the past a little. So I need to, like, keep thinking, like, things are different, you know. The things that we would just expect as a matter of course from guild members 5 years ago are totally unrealistic now. And we need to make sure we're thinking about that with how the game has really changed.
Well, perfect. Right on. It was, I think we even covered a lot more than we had planned on with some of our questions and notes, but I know you've been a GM for quite a while and on a Low Pop server for quite a while. Was there anything else that you wanted to add to this before we kind of start heading down the trail a little bit?
That was a really, really nice way of saying that I talk too much.
No. I'm not. I you know, we had talked a little bit before the show, like, we kind of we're having a rough week getting our act together, and we didn't really make very thorough notes, so it was really good to be able to have that much discussion off of such a loose outline. Well, that's not on you at all. I'm not trying to.
No, I will.
Brick and Hathor, come on.
And I love talking about my guild because they're awesome. So
I'm not even going to feel bad. You know what? Speaking of another person that we like to listen to. How am I going to segue this? That was terrible. But we do have a brand new crowd control segment from Kim. That doesn't even need a segue. That's just good enough to roll right on into itself there.
Hi guys, welcome back to Crowd Control. My name's Kim, and this week we're going to be talking about 5.4. Yes, they've updated some of the notes for PvP, and there's some fairly big changes, so we're going to discuss that. So stick around, and I hope you enjoy. Alright, let's dive right in and talk about some of the redesigns to the arena system. The first one I want to talk about, there was quite a few, but there's a few key ones that I want to talk about. Players no longer need to create or join an arena team to compete. Well, I like this idea, and I don't like this idea. I like the idea that I can just group up with someone and do arena without having to join, leave the team that I'm in and join their team or anything like that. But I don't like it if they're going to get rid of teams completely. It doesn't really say either way at the moment. I'm assuming that they wouldn't get rid of teams because, you know, it's kind of... Yeah, it's an aesthetic thing, I suppose, to have the team banner and all that sort of stuff. But I quite like it. I quite enjoy the whole team thing. I would be sad to see that go. Yeah, the next thing is the arena ladder will no longer be sorted according to battle group. It's going to be region-wide. This is awesome. This is good. We like this. The reason we like this is because, you know, aside from the fact that you might run into someone like Bajira or Swifty or any number of people, you know, it's going to open up to shorter queue times because there's going to be more people available for PvP. You know, it's not going to just be your own battle group. It's going to be region-wide. There's going to be so many people, which is great. Right, the next thing is a good one. We like this. It's a class-wide thing, and it's fears cast by players no longer increase the target's movement speed. I can hear druids everywhere breathing a sigh of relief. Feral druids have probably at some point or another during PvP hit dash and then been feared to China and never come back, never been seen again. So, I mean, yeah, it's good not to have that extra few yards, I suppose. I know it's not much, but it can be in PvP. And also the area knockback effects, they've now shared a diminishing return, which is great, especially for the warlock pet, Felash, and Ursul's Vortex. Once you've been affected by that particular knockback once, you have a 10 seconds immunity to it. So yeah, 10 seconds is a long time. In Battlegrounds I don't see it being particularly useful, but definitely in Arena where pets can be an absolute nightmare. Especially ones with knockbacks and fears and stuns and stuff like that, nightmare. So this is just a little extra to, you know, help out. It's just a small change, but, you know, I quite like it. Alright, the last thing is a little bit of a bone of contention with a lot of the players. It's the Crowd Chose You buff. For arena matches lasting longer than 15 minutes, one of the teams will receive a buff called the Crowd Chose You that increases damage, critical strike chance, stealth detection, and reduces damage taken. The buff is awarded based on the following criteria: team with the largest number of players alive, and the team that brought an enemy player closest to death the lowest health. It's kind of been dubbed the insta-win buff. I'm not really sure about this. I'm not really sure if it has a place in Arena. It feels like more something that you would have in the Brawler's Guild, but I suppose it stops that kind of matches lasting for ages and ages, and I don't know. Personally, I don't really think it's necessary, but I don't think if you're going to get the buff, you're probably more likely to win anyway. But, you know, everyone's had those matches where you think that there's just no way we're going to win here. It's over, and then sometimes you do come back and win it. So, I don't know. I think I'll need to wait and see how it works and then pass judgment. At the moment, I'm on the fence. So, yeah, that's just a couple of key points that I wanted to pick out and talk about. There's a few that are fairly simple, small things, and there's a couple of fairly big ones. But yeah, 5.4 is looking okay. I think there's no major problems that I can see, but there is still plenty of time. There's still loads of things that have to be added, probably, and we shall just have to mess around on the PTR and find out. So I am on the Deathwing server, US server, and I do a lot of PvP there. It's pretty much exclusively PvP that I do. But I am inviting you guys to come join Battlegrounds and, you know, set up some arena teams and things like that. And yeah, come PvP with me and we will have lots of fun. We will get on Skype or Vent or whatever and just hang out and have a good time. Obviously, our time schedules are a little bit different, so I'm usually around at the weekends a little bit later to hang out and have fun. If you don't have me on Real ID already, you can see it on my Twitter page. It's in the little profile part. Alright, that about wraps up for this week's Crowd Control. If you want to get in touch, ask a question, or, you know, if you've got any comments, you can go to thetrainingdummies.com, and the Contact Us page has all the details for my Twitter and things like that to get in touch. So, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you guys have a great week.
So, Hathor, do you use macros?
I do. Do I understand them? Do I write them myself? No. But I do hunt on the Google, and I find, usually there's just one in particular that I use, and then I adapt for almost everything that I do as a healer. So...
All right, well, do you want to share that? Yes, please. Don't give any of the syntax. Just kind of tell what it is, what it does.
Okay,
we'll post the syntax later. Much later.
Many gosh. Whiles ago, my significant other was healing on a resto shaman while I was tanking on my bear, and he was using not Healbot, but... Oh my gosh, I'm blanking out. There's another add-on that had similar kind of built-in functionality, where you could like mouse over and programming all sorts of buttons and keys and binds and stuff. And he was yelling at me and yelling at me and yelling at me because I was still clicking, for healing. So I didn't really want a full add-on, so I just started doing a little bit of research, and I ended up at World of Maticus with a guide to mouseover macros so that I wouldn't have to actually click to change my target before I healed someone. I could simply move my mouse over their raid frame and then hit the appropriate button. So that was pretty revolutionary. So the basic macro that I have is one that does a couple things conditionally. So if I have a mouse over target, it's going to go ahead and cast whichever spell I select on them. If I don't have a mouse over target, but I have a normal target, it's going to cast that spell on that target. And if I don't have either of those, it's going to cast it on myself. So it's a really nice, simple, basic macro for healers that you can adapt, and you can link trinkets into it. You can use racials. I know I always have my priest use her berserking before she does spirit shell with prayer of healing so that I can kind of couple those together and get a nice huge pop and burst and get some extra haste. So I just think it's great because it's simple, it's straightforward, and you can do so much more with it, even if you're like me, who really doesn't understand how to write macros at all yourself. Once I have the space, I can do fancy things with it.
Yeah, that's one of my go-tos. Ever since Hint showed me the way years and years ago. This is one of my almost this exact syntax right here. You can swap out the spell name with any of your other healing or whatever spells, and it still works with any of them, so it's a good one.
Yeah, this is pretty much the starting point of all my most over healing macros that I use on all tunes. This is the base, and then, yeah, like you had mentioned, expand out from here, adding your trinkets or you know, my synapse springs on my engineer, etc., or any other number of things that you can add to this. Yes, all right. Eventually, I'll get that posted on the website, probably, sometime. So
in October.
Yeah, probably. we have a treat for you. Since we've been at this a year, we decided to try something new for this segment, and I hope you enjoy it as much as myself and Rob do. It's truly phenomenal and awesome. Enjoy.
Scoot in a little bit closer. I just wanna use
All right, it is time for some hand love. I'm going to start off by sending some hand love to Megan from the Warcraft Trolls podcast. She did it up for us, and it is fantastic. I love it. I love it more each time I listen to it. It is just great.
It has your name in it, dude. You're
I know, it's awesome.
That was freaking awesome.
I know. Yeah, we had an idea to just change that up a little bit, and Rob thought of the perfect song for it, and then he talked to Megan, and next thing you know, Rob sent me a clip, and I was like, oh my god, I'm in love. I'm in
that
hand
is
love.
Pretty darn fantastic.
I know, it was great. I also need to send some hand love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. And as well, I need to send some to Hathor for joining us today on the podcast. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm always like a little shocked when people ask me to be on their shows. I'm like, really? Okay, that's awesome, but really? So, thank
really,
you.
Really, really, really.
A wonderful little flattering boost whenever that happens, so. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what do you got for us?
I don't know.
Since I took all the good ones.
You go first, and then you always take the good ones, and then I go, I like Twitter, Facebook. You guys are cool. But let me see. Okay, hold on. For Vero, for inadvertently carrying me through some LFR, because I was... awesome. So it got me all like, man, maybe I want to play my priest a little more. And let's see. Definitely Hathor for coming on the show, because I know we had talked about it, and then we said yes, and then I threw out these last minute show notes and was like, all right, let's do this. Yeah. So, yes. And then everybody on Twitter for sure, because you guys are awesome. Mostly Twitter. Probably not as much Facebook this week. I haven't really been doing that a whole lot. Broomfondle. Mimith. Mimith likes to retweet things.
Yes, he does.
Like a boss, man. Yeah. That's good. I'll just do a couple of specific ones this week. Hathor. Any special... shout-outs for folks, your guild.
Yeah, well, I could go on forever, but one thing I think I'd like to give a little shout-out, I haven't heard their first show yet, but there's a new podcast called Justice Points Podcast, and they're actually going to be talking about WoW from a social justice perspective.
Social justice, all right.
Which is fascinating, and I cannot wait to hear what they're going to be doing. Like, there's so many podcasts with, you know, a finite number of different perspectives you can take, and this is something totally different. So big shout out to them for doing something different and something that I personally have a lot of interest in, being in education and everything. So you go, guys. Really excited.
Very cool. I'll check that out.
On a more personal note, well, thanks to you guys for wanting to record me talking at you for hours. So again, like I said, I'm always a little like, okay, do you know what you're getting into?
Hey, if we didn't record people talking at us for hours, we wouldn't have a show.
Fair enough.
True fact.
I know.
And then similarly, shout out to Ro of Realm Maintenance, who actually also invited me to talk at him for an extended period of time this past week. That was very cool and very exciting. Ro has also been just very supportive in general with me being a brand new podcaster this year and having lots of really dumb questions for him. So, okay, I'm going to try to squeeze in just a couple itty-bitty ones. Not that they're itty-bitty, but quickly. So... shout out to Rafist from The Sundering, who, while we were recording, just sent me the sweetest tweet in the world. This is me sitting down and taking the time to ask you sincerely how you are doing since you were stressed a few days ago. Smiley face. such a sweetie. So
those guys are great, man. They're way awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they
really are. Good people. Good people. And I guess a general shout out in this way, I don't forget anybody, to all the people that I have been playing with or talking to or that I have met either because of the podcast or because of Twitter. You guys are super duper awesome. And I just can't believe how many smart, intelligent, funny, amazing people there are out there. And hopefully, eventually, I will get to talk with every single one of you on my show someday as I work slowly through various panels and guest lists. So, thanks. Everybody's awesome.
True that. All right, 5 stars this week. We have none. So, yeah.
Did you look?
Yeah, I did, actually. I took the time to look. But one thing I do want to mention, before we wrap this up completely, is if you want an extra dose of Kim this week, along with a whole bunch of other awesome accents, I'm pretty sure she is recording with Girls Gone Wow on Sunday, so that should be out on Monday. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to listening to that one, because it should be awesome. Okay, I'm done drooling.
Well, before we totally throw this one away, Hathor, why don't you let everyone know where they can reach you or stalk you or follow you or like you or any other means to get all up in your business?
Sweet. Okay. Related to the Low Pop Wow podcast, if you like hearing me ramble, and having maybe the idea of me getting other people to ramble as well, you can find the Low Pop Wow podcast and everything related to it at lowpopwow.com. No spaces, no punctuation at all. You can follow us on Twitter at Low Pop Wow. You can watch our live streams every Sunday starting at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time at twitch.tv/LowPopWow. You can, if you're interested more in kind of the guild stuff that maybe I've been talking about, maybe you're looking for a guild like mine, you can find us at wickedofmalorn.com. We are the guild Wicked on the Malorn US server. And you also are welcome to email me directly for anything guild related or podcast related or just random BS related at hathor@lowpopwow.com. And Hathor is spelled H-A-T-H-O-R-R.
Arr. That about does it for episode 46. It is like 12:20 something here in the morning, and I am getting slap happy. And be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com, because I'm going to take this line out of here. We do not post our macros each and every week, but we will post them eventually for you. But while you're there, checking to see if we did eventually post some type of cool macro, like checking if you have defeated the world bosses this week or not, you can also go ahead and leave us a comment. Or you can use the fancy widget on the right-hand side of the page and leave us a voicemail that way. It's free. You don't have to install anything. It's real easy to use. We try to be social media butterflies, so like us over at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, or follow the show on Twitter at trainingdummies. I am at Rob Copeland, Hind is at Hind_Horderlies, and Kim with a Y is at Kim Skelly. And as always, we love to get those emails, so send them in over at the show at thetrainingdummies.com.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!